Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio constituency in the American South. We're also expanding our outreach on international shortwave, as well as the ongoing attempt to acquire further conventional radio affiliates. We're also in the process of updating the RBN archives and expanding our outreach on the World Wide Web. At some point, those archives of all of my shows and all of the shows of the other hosts on this network are going to be back online at republicbroadcasting.org. Be watching for that in the days ahead. We are joined in the last hour of this show, and we've been joined for the last hour prior by Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, B-A-K-H-T-I-A-R. Search for him on Google, those of you who are listening to this broadcast around the country and around the world. You'll find a series of incredible articles coming from this Iranian political scientist and scholar of the Middle East and Central Asia. All kinds of things that will be good for you and for me in the days that are ahead. You can find a piece that he wrote a year ago entitled Why the U.S. Invaded Iraq and is Now Thinking About Invading Iran. He has another piece entitled The Great Deception, The Propaganda That We Pay For. Who owns news media in the United States and worldwide? What is the connection between those corporate interests and the news that we actually read or hear? That's just one of the topics that Dr. Bakhtiar covers in that piece entitled The Great Deception, The Propaganda That We Pay For, and he's coming to us this morning from Norway. Dr. Bakhtiar, where were we before the last break?
We were discussing the influence of the Israeli lobby in the United States and how they have basically gotten hold of the whole machinery. And they're influencing, or to a large degree, can determine who can become a president or not.
Because, yes, and we see this, as you were pointing out, with their recent publicized attempts to compromise Representative Jane Harman, the Democrat from California, who at that juncture was the senior Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. We see the same thing going on in the same time frame. With a Republican who was defeated this last November, but a guy named Kurt Weldon, who was from Delaware County in Pennsylvania and was involved with both the House Armed Services Committee as well as the House Homeland Security Committee. And Congressman Weldon, we find out in recent times, along with his daughter, is under FBI grand jury investigation for his alleged connections to a series of crooked defense contractors, both in this country as well as elsewhere. And Weldon is someone who clearly has had many of these same kinds of links to both the neoconservative press as well as the Israeli lobby. So there you have it on the Republican side of the aisle. And Weldon, who, of course, in recent months, there has been this past publicized grand jury investigation involving him that was in both the Philadelphia Inquirer as well as on CNN.com and other elements of the international press. And yet in recent times, we've heard nothing further that I can see about Kurt Weldon since the election. I don't know if the grand jury investigation on him is continuing or if that's the reason for the silence. It's somewhat unclear. But the point is that whether you're looking at Jane Harman in the Democratic Party or Kurt Weldon up to this point in the Republican Party in the House, that the Israeli lobby has its fingers on some very significant people that can tend to be connected with intelligence and foreign policy and the Department of Defense. We will be back with Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll have a more extended conversation with him then. Stay tuned.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest this morning is Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, B-A-K-H-T-I-A-R. He is an Iranian political scientist, political analyst, expert in Iran, the Middle East, and Central Asia. He is a consultant and a contributing writer for many online journals, and is a former associate professor of Nordland University in Norway, where he continues to reside. Dr. Bakhtiar, we were talking about this whole business before the commercial breaks in regard to the role of the Israeli lobby, for example, in the American political scene. We see it in the disproportionate amount of influence that they have in the American presidential sweepstakes. We see the amount of control that AIPAC and other Israeli lobby-oriented organizations have in financing congressional races and U.S. senatorial races. We've touched a little bit upon their control of the news media. But I was going to say that in the first part of my show this morning before you came on, I was interviewing a woman named Carol Moore from Washington, D.C., who is considered to be, I guess, a so-called libertarian. And Carol's been one of the people organizing a protest that's taking place tonight in Washington against AIPAC. AIPAC is apparently having its annual conference gala banquet up there tonight in the at the D.C. Convention Center, Mount Vernon Place, between 7th and 9th Streets in Washington. And Carol Moore is one of the people organizing between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States a lawful, peaceful protest against AIPAC entitled Congress Stand Up to AIPAC. And it's kind of fascinating to see the people who are involved with the protest as well as the people inside the congressional representatives and executive branch officials in both of the major American political parties who are going to be attending the AIPAC banquet. Does it suggest to you that in terms of analyzing the American domestic political scene, that the this pro- and anti-Israel question has caused some very interesting alliances, some would argue even improbable alliances, to be taking place on both sides of the aisle where that political question is concerned, and that maybe, just maybe, in the United States, particularly with the poll numbers being down for both Bush and Cheney, as well as support for the Iraq War, that if the United States does attack Iran either unilaterally or in conjunction with Israel, that maybe there will be a newly galvanized support in the U.S. For an anti-Israeli position and for more of an expression in the American domestic political scene against this neoconservative foreign policy?
Well, it's quite possible. And if you look at the history of these type of influences, you see that a group, a minority group, can try to exert an influence, a disproportionate influence on the central authorities for quite some time. And then afterward, it comes a backlash. And backlash, again, is disproportionate to the influence that they have, those minorities have been trying to sort of enforce. So, yes, there is a huge risk that the AIPAC, by its actions, over time, create an environment where the people suddenly get fed up, and then you will see a huge backlash. And then that is a danger that the people should pay particular attention to, especially in these with regards to Israel. Because when the backlash comes, then it doesn't distinguish between the innocent and the guilty.
Yes.
Everybody is in the same boat. So that is a huge risk that the AIPAC, and I hope they're listening to this, they consider that historically has shown itself, that repeats over and over again. If you try to influence the central governments disproportionately to your interest and to the numbers that are supporting your views, then when the backlash comes, backlash comes usually in a huge way, and it doesn't show any mercy. And that is the problem that I hope people will sort of pay attention to. With regard to their influence and with regard to Iran right now, there is a huge push by the AIPAC to urge the United States to attack Iran. And they know that if such a thing happens, it will be disastrous for the United States. I have written two articles on this. One article is called United States versus Iran, is an attack inevitable? And the second article, which lists the Iranian military capabilities, called United States versus Iran, the hybrid war. Now, in the second article, I have listed the Iranian military capability, where I write that, listen, you know, Iran knows that it cannot militarily, in a conventional way, withstand invasion by United States. So it has prepared itself for an asymmetric warfare. Now, an asymmetric warfare, where we can see right now in Iraq, it can be very, very ugly and very costly to both sides. In general, if United States attack Iran, we will see a huge spike in oil prices. We'll see the number of American casualties triple or even quadruple overnight. These are the problems, both financial and militarily. And recently I read that five U.S. generals also saw it the same way, and they actually threatened to resign if United States goes for an attack on Iran. Now, the the road to diplomacy is open. What Iran is asking United States is a guarantee for its own security. Now, we must realize that they're asking for guarantee for their own security. But United States is refusing constantly to provide that guarantee. Similarly, the people in North Korea, they were asking for similar guarantees. They wanted a guarantee not to be invaded by United States. But usually these things you don't hear about it. They usually pretend that the other side is an aggressor while they are scared. Iranians right now, they are very, very scared of an invasion, of any kind of attack by United States. They know. Everybody in the world knows the capabilities of U.S. military machine. It's huge. It's devastating. It can be overwhelming. We all know that. But the point is, do we want to live in a world where people are scared of a big bully? Constantly being in fear of that person. Is that person going to attack us? Imagine you live in a neighborhood where you have this huge guy with a huge gun in his pocket, and you have seen that he has gone to your neighbor's door on the left and killed so many people, has gone to the other neighbors and killed so many people, and now putting you at a crosshair. You naturally become very, very nervous. So this is one problem. But, as I said, United States' interest in the area is served not by using its military power. It is by following its own natural interest. Natural interest of the United States is to be present economically in the area. That is, having access to reserves, oil reserves, access to markets, and so on and so forth. This is what is in interest of the United States and the people in the area. But if Israel comes into the equation, then things change. Then the economy, then the peaceful coexistence goes out of the window. Because of this Palestinian-Israeli problem. When that comes into the picture, then the whole thing changes. Then you see that Israel will try to maintain its military superiority. It will try to weaken anybody that in any way, now or in the future, may present some kind of a threat to its occupation of the occupied areas. And that has been sort of influencing the United States strategy in the area, which has been disastrous for the United States and the Americans, if you consider the costs both in material, in deaths, and in financial terms.
Yeah, both past, present, and future. And you know, when you add to this the perilous, what I would argue is the perilous moral question that it seems to me that these neoconservatives have been avoiding in regard to the amount of death and suffering that has been inflicted in the region. It's absolutely amazing to me that their response to this would simply be to argue for more of the same. And as I think I have shared with you, Dr. Bakhtiar, online in some of our online discussions in the past, I lived in Iran years ago as a young person. When my father and mother were stationed there, my father was a director of logistics for the Shah's Imperial Iranian Air Force in the final years leading up to the revolution. And I did not learn, unfortunately, much Persian because I was an American college student in those days and was just traveling over to Iran for a series of summers. But I tried to travel to as much of Iran as I could, and I've continued to read English language translations of books that relate to Iranian culture and history and geography. And to me, between the things that I have read in my own language and the Iranians that I knew over 30 years ago when I was a young person in that country, as well as Iranians that I continue to meet both in the United States on and online, who talk to me about all kinds of things, it's very clear to me, as an American who is not an Iranian, not a Persian, that the Iranians are a very resourceful, intelligent people. They have had a 2,500-year history of dealing with foreign incursions and foreign invaders. They are a people who acquitted themselves very well when they were attacked by a superior conventional military force between 1980 and 1988. And I just wanted to mention when we come back that I don't think a lot of Americans understand how tough the sledding will be if we come and become involved in a conflict with them. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio. We'll be back.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined this morning by Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, B-A-K-H-T-I-A-R. Search him on Google. You'll find all kinds of things that will come up, including his article, U.S. versus Iran, The Hybrid War, The Great Deception, The Propaganda That We Pay For, and Why the U.S. Invaded Iraq and is Now Thinking About Invading Iran. Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar is an Iranian political scientist and analyst and a consultant. He is an expert on Iran, Central Asia, and the Middle East. He comes to us this morning from Norway. He has been a past associate professor at Nordland University there. Dr. Bakhtiar, as we have been talking this morning, I was just saying before the last commercial break that having lived in Iran for a number of years as a young person, and having been interested in the history of Iran as a generalist who's read quite a bit about the subject in English, I've tried to tell many of my American friends that aside from the fact that I think the United States has been pursuing the wrong dog over there in terms of the direction that things have gone politically, militarily, economically, and morally in that region. I've just said to them, hey, if we attack Iran, you folks that are advocating this have no conception of what we're going to be up against. Look at the performance of Iran in the Iran-Iraq war between 1980 and 1988. Look at their 2,500-year history of dealing with foreign invasions of all kinds of types and descriptions over the centuries. And this is a proud, intelligent, resourceful people who, across the political spectrum, I've argued, not only those who support the Ahmadinejad regime in Iran, but many Iranians who don't support that regime will nonetheless come to the aid and defense of their country if they are attacked by the West, and will do so, I think, very, very effectively and very successfully. What's your take on that?
Well, I think you are quite right on that account. As we have seen throughout the history, and we see it again in the recent wars, people tend to sort of put all their differences aside, political differences, and concentrate on the enemy from outside. For example, if the United States comes under attack from wherever, be it Mexico or Canada or Russia, I'm sure the Republicans and Democrats and independents and communists and and neocons and what have you, they all get together, try to sort of defend the nation. So the similar things will happen in Iran as well. So any attack by United States will result in a solidifying of the current regime's base power. This is number one. Number two is that look at Iraq, for example, or Afghanistan. You see that these people, they're not going to go anyplace. You cannot get rid of them. You have 24 million or 20 million Iraqis there. They're not going to go away. They're going to be there 100 years from now. They're going to be there. The only thing that they will have for themselves is the memory. It's always say, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. The memory of United States involvement in Iran from 1953 and the coup of a democratically elected Mossadegh resulted in 1979 revolution, no matter how you look at it. All the Iranians are of the same opinion that, listen, if the United States hadn't intervened along with Britain and hadn't created a coup to depose a democratically elected government, we would not have had a revolution of 1979. These are the lessons of history. So no matter how United States tries to come into the region, if it tries to come in forcefully, the only thing that it will leave behind after 50 years or 60 years or even 100 years is the memory of its occupation and its interference. So if United States comes in as a friend, as an economic partner, as Japanese are doing, as Chinese are doing, as others are doing, then they will be welcomed with open arms. But if they come with tanks and M-16s and F-16s and so on and so forth, naturally there will be a tremendous amount of resistance. So, and you must not forget that in all the Islamic nations, the polls have repeatedly revealed that the only Islamic nation that has a positive view of the United States is the Iranian people. This we should not forget, that there is tremendous amount of warmth and goodwill among Iranian people towards American people. And this is the paradox of the whole thing, that the only nation where the majority of population are friendly towards the United States are being coming under tremendous amount of pressure by the United States. So this is another point that we should not forget, how the people feel about the United States. Now, the propaganda that you see on the TVs, like Rent-A-Crowd, the people who shout, you know, death to this and death to that, you know, that forget those. I'm talking about the real people that are working and are suffering and studying and what have you, the real, real people. And that's the majority of people, something like 98% of the people.
Dr. Bakhtiar, hold that thought. Let's continue with that when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar to discuss his perceptions on Iran and American foreign policy in the Middle East. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Back. This is Mark Dantkoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. When our archives are fully restored, I want to add that this show will be among those archived at Mark Dantkoff's America on the Republic Broadcasting Network with a complete description of our guests today, as well as direct links to their individual articles on the World Wide Web. Breaking All the Rules News, which is the leading American paleoconservative website on the www, will have front page information on my interview with Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar today, as well as publishable links to some of his latest and best articles. Those include U.S. versus Iran, Hybrid War, The Great Deception, The Propaganda That We Pay For, and Why the U.S. Invaded Iraq and is Now Thinking About Invading Iran. Dr. Bakhtiar, you were saying before the break that it needs to be emphasized that despite what happened in 1953 in Iran and what happened in 1978 and 79 in that country and the present situation where there's a lot of verbal bellicosity going on, that there's nonetheless a great reservoir of goodwill on the part of many Iranian people toward Americans. And somehow, some way, that's something that should be utilized as an asset, hopefully, by some of our American political leaders to turn things in a different direction from the way they're headed.
Well, yeah, that's quite true. I think that the best way forward would be a negotiating settlements. That is a direct negotiation between the United States and Iran. They sit together. They sort of try to sort it out, one to one, not in a huge 100 people international conference, but a direct negotiations. I'm sure if they sit together, they can hash out some kind of a compromise where both will be extremely satisfied. But there are people, governments, that are against this. One of the governments that will definitely object is Israel. The other one is Saudi Arabia. I have written recently an article called Iran versus Saudi Arabia versus United States, where I try to sort of write down the history of the jihadist movement and Wahhabi extremist groups that are at the core of the new phenomenon, this terrorism in the world, and how they are being financed. Do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
And when you go and look into this, into the financing of these groups, their ideological foundation and so on and so forth, history of them, you see that they are nicely being fed through Saudi Arabian government or some of the Saudi Arabian millionaires. Now, what we see here is that they are funding all these extremist groups throughout the world. They're not directly, you know, paying for their armament. What they are doing is they are providing them with recruiting grounds. Like, for example, madrasas. These are these religious schools in Pakistan, for example. They are funding educational programs that basically create extremism throughout the world. Now they have spread from Algeria in North Africa all the way to Indonesia. And yet United States, that has declared itself that it is out there to defeat terrorism, war on terror and all that, tends to not to do anything about this. Pakistan, for example, is a center recruiting ground for Al-Qaeda and Taliban for fighting in Afghanistan. Yet we see nothing being done really. Why? Because Saudi Arabia is funding and supporting Musharraf's government, which is in turn turning a blind eye to all these recruiting schools. This is one. The other one is the matter of strategic partnership that United States and especially Bush administration has with current Saudi government. The Saudi government, as I say, is not a normal government. It's about 7,000 Saudi princes, and among these people, they, you know, sort of elect or negotiate, and they get a leader, and the leader select the crown prince and so on and so forth. Now, there is a problem here is that if, for example, Iranian model comes in as a theocracy to the fore, it can present and threaten the other regimes in the Gulf states as a model to follow. People may try to emulate that model because that is closer to a representative government with elections and so on and so forth than what is currently available in Bahrain, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, UAE, and so on and so forth. So there is a problem here with regard to extremism, with regard to a strategic partnership between United States and Saudi Arabia and Iran. And now it is getting a sectarian dimension as well in itself, Sunni versus Shia and so on and so forth. So there is two countries in the area that are against United States coming in direct negotiations and some kind of a solution with Iran, one being Saudi Arabia and the other one being Israel. Although Saudi Arabia goes out of its way to say that it is for a negotiating settlements, everything that they have done so far indicates that they are for some kind of a containment of Iran through the use of force by United States.
It sounds to me like there could be a terrific, tragic irony here, which is that Israel and Saudi Arabia, which obviously at one level have no use for one another, could nonetheless have a quiet acquiescent support for an American surrogate military action against Iran.
Well, absolutely. I mean, their interests converge here. One, Saudi Arabia wants to keep its present system in place, and its system relies on Wahhabi groups. They are the extremist Islamic group, xenophobic to a very high degree. They are relying on them for their legitimacy. So what they have to do, they have to keep these people happy. And these people are happy only if they can expand. So on one side, we have the Saudi government that want to stay in power, needs these extremists. These extremists are, generating or creating recruits for extremist groups abroad that are doing terrorist things. And the other side, we have Israelis who are supposed to be fighting some of these, and United States that are supposed to be totally fighting these people. But they all have different agendas. But their agenda here for Israel to keep its hegemony in the place, in the area, and for Saudi Arabians to keep their form of government in place, they converge together because they both see Iran as a threat. So for them, the best solution would be for United States to reduce Iran to the level of Iraq. The best solution for them would be a fragmented Iran, some kind of a federation, what they are trying to do in Iraq as well. You know, set the country back another 100 years. Because this is what will happen when you do an extensive bombing campaigns and so on and so forth. And now they're talking about nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons as well. So, yes, they are converging, and they don't want this. So if United States wants to get along with Iran and they sit together and actually hash out some kind of a compromise that is good for both sides, then these other two countries will be quite unhappy about this.
Well, I tell you, this is raises all kinds of interesting questions up to and including this insane idea that I have seen Dr. Michael Chasadovsky reporting at globalresearch.ca with the same degree of alarm that I think all of us share, and that is that these neocons have, in fact, if you look at Con Plan 8022 or you look at the National Security Presidential Directive NSPD 35, just as a couple of examples of where there is a definite move, definite advocacy on the part of some of the possibility, some would say even the probability, that tactical nuclear weapons would be utilized against Iran in this preemptive military strike, an idea that I find to be personally horrifying and repugnant. Are we in fact seeing a situation where in terms of what Israel and Saudi Arabia would actually want to see achieved here, where an American military strike against Iran would be followed by a balkanization of that country, that it would, instead of having a centralized regime in Tehran and a unified government or a unified Iranian nation, according to its presently constituted borders, where it would just break up into different provinces and sectors like Azerbaijan and Khuzestan and Balochistan?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Pentagon, in one of these studies, they came out with a plan for this and a map. The map was presented in NATO gatherings in Brussels. There they actually showed various groups breaking out, Balochistan for itself, Persian side, including some part, northern part of Afghanistan. We see the Kurdish parts being separated, make it into a Kurdistan for itself. We see the Arab part, or shall we say southern part of Iran, being included in what they call a Shiistan, with Shia part of Iraq, where the oil is. And we see, yes, we see balkanization generally being a formula that they would love to implement, because the more balkanization you have, the less power these people have. There will be a lot of infighting, and they would need a foreign power to be present to support this group against that group and so on and so forth. So, yes, that would be the perfect outcome, both for Israel and for United States, if and when United States decides to stay in the country. But the problem with this is that Iran is a very large country. It has something like 70, 75 million people. It is 1,468,000 or 38,000 kilometers. It is not a flat country. It's very mountainous. It's like Afghanistan. And invading the country is almost impossible. That has been proven. It's very, very difficult. You would need somewhere around 500,000 to 1 million soldiers to actually occupy the country. And all of these soldiers have to come from someplace, to the Strait of Hormuz. So these are very difficult questions. That's why they are more relying on air power, and they know that air power can do only so much. The air power, they can rely on that to do some damage, but they cannot damage the tunnels that they have dig in and all the underground facilities and so on and so forth. Hence, the position, the solution for them has been to, well, why not use nuclear tactical weapons? And that has been mentioned over and over again by United States and by Israel. And it has been to a large degree ignored by the people in the press to talk about this, that why does a nuclear state threaten another country, another non-nuclear state that we know does not possess a nuclear weapon, with a nuclear weapon?
Which brings us full circle to looking at this from the Iranian perspective. That it would be, in their view, given some of the things that have come out as we have cited them here in regard to Khan Plan 8022 and the National Security Presidential Directive 35, and some of the rhetoric coming out of Tel Aviv that's been appearing in the Israeli press, like Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post, in regard to preempting Iran potentially with tactical nuclear weapons. It might give a perfectly plausible understanding as to why Ahmadinejad would want one, or why any Iranian government of any ideological stripe would potentially want some type of nuclear capability with these kinds of overt and covert threats being made.
Well, that is an issue here for not only Iran, for all the people around the world. If you are in a country and you have seen that your neighbors, under false pretexts, being attacked, occupied, torn apart, and then you ask for security and they don't give it to you, and they tell you that you are next, you are on our list, top of our list, now you have to protect yourself, what would you do? This is the questions that many, many leaders of many countries, they have to consider. For Iran, it comes to this. Well, we do not want to have a bomb. They've said it over and over again. But if I was Ahmadinejad, or if I was some of the other guys sitting on the top, I would look very carefully at this and say, look, long term, if I cannot come to some kind of agreement with the United States, some kind of a security agreement, then do I have any choice except going nuclear? After all, Pakistan went nuclear. India went nuclear. Israel went nuclear. Brazil is going nuclear, although you don't hear anything about that. And none of these countries are being... So the point is that this is the only card you can have for self-defense. You must realize a country that has 50 nuclear bombs will never use those bombs, because we know that by the time the first one leaves the ground, the country has become a glass... This much we know about the nuclear capability of the United States and Russia. So nobody would be crazy enough to try to attack the United States with nuclear weapons. The only nuclear weapons that they can keep is for self-defense, to be used on their own soil in case, as a deterrent, to make it costly for a foreign power to occupy the country. Imagine if Iraq had actually a nuclear weapon. United States would never invade the country. All this death and destruction would not have happened. So not having a nuclear weapon actually is a great disadvantage for many countries. As long as we do not have a security arrangement in the area, I think nuclear weapons is the only deterrent that one can look at quite carefully. But another thing we should not forget, that if these things continues, if these security arrangements are not put in place, and if the people are stopped from going nuclear, then they may turn around. Instead of going big, they go small. They go into biological weapons. And that I have, you know, that is my nightmare, that if you try to force people to accept your preconditions, they say, okay, then we have to defend ourselves. How are we going to defend ourselves? Make a doomsday weapon that they cannot even find it. How do you do that? You go underground, you go to small laboratories, and you create biological weapons. So there's some kind of understanding has to be achieved, has to be reached between these nations, some kind of international security system, where smaller nations, weaker nations, can actually feel secure in their neighborhoods. And this is the crux of the matter. Is the United States ready to actually come in and say, listen, I'm not a malign power, I'm a benign power, I want to come in and I want to help you guys. Let's sit down, I'm not going to attack you, I'm not going to overthrow your regime, I'm not going to occupy or bomb you. We have these issues, let us discuss it.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio. We'll be right back with Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have about 6 minutes to go this morning before my show is completed. Our guest has been Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, B-A-K-H-T-I-A-R. Dr. Bakhtiar is an acknowledged scholar in the area of political science and specifically matters Iranian, Central Asian, and Middle Eastern. You can find a number of his great articles on the World Wide Web, including U.S. versus Iran, Hybrid War, Iran versus Saudi Arabia, The Great Deception, The Propaganda That We Pay For, and Why the U.S. Invaded Iraq and is Now Thinking About Invading Iran. When RBN gets its archives reestablished and describes this show, I will be providing links to all of those articles. Breaking All the Rules news today, the American Paleo Conservative site is going to run a news story on this show with links to all of these Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar articles. And Dr. Bakhtiar, I wanted to ask you a question. I have several friends in the United States, including Shireen Nashat of Sarbazan out in Los Angeles. Shireen's father lost his life in the Islamic Revolution. He was the commander of the Shah, the last commander of the Shah's Imperial Guard. She would like to see, I think, some type of constitutional monarchy restored in Iran. For those who are of that point of view in the Iranian political spectrum, Shireen has no connections to these neocons in any way, shape, or form. But I noticed that some of the folks in this country involved in the Iranian monarchical movement do, folks that are connected with the American Enterprise Institute and groups of that ilk. Are they not risking a scenario where instead of having some individual to reassume control of a centralized government in Iran, they would wake up one morning to discover that between the Israeli lobby and the American oil consortiums, that Iran had had a tremendous war inflicted upon it, that there was a very destabilized situation in that country, and a movement to rent asunder the unity of the Iranian nation and to create, individual regions or nation states in places like Khuzestan and Balochistan and Azerbaijan. In other words, that some of these Iranian monarchists might discover that they had been fooled in regard to what seems to be the alliance of some of them with interests that want to do battle with Iran in this preemptive war.
Well, you're quite right. The whole point is that many of these people, they hope, especially in the United States, the monarchists, they hope that the current system will go away and a constitutional monarchy system will be reinstalled in Iran. Now, the problem with that is that, number one, there is not much support for it in Iran. Number two is the problem with this disintegration of Iran. Already we see tremendous amount of money and energy being spent into creating these centrifugal powers, forces throughout the country, from Azerbaijan to Balochistan, for example. We see there's a lot of money from CIA and other places being spent to sort of garner support for creating independent states within Iran. Now, when you look at what happens in Iraq, you can see what can happen in Iran as well. When the CPA, the Provisional Authority, came to run Iraq, basically, they came up with this federation idea. And that sort of sowed the seeds for disintegration of Iraq, what we are seeing now as a civil war. Now, if some similar thing is going to happen, it will happen in Iran as well. They will come in and say, well, minorities, they should have their own government, their own states, and so on and so forth. And then before you know it, you have a full civil war going on in Iran. So it's a nightmare scenario that I hope everyone will pay attention to.
This is Mark Danfoss, America, signing off today from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd like to thank Dr. Bakhtiar for